And I'm real excited to introduce Dr. Frank Tamburi to our show today. Dr. Tamburi is a naturopathic medical doctor who specializes in the assessment of prostate cancer and its numerous treatment options. Anyone who has found themselves thrust into the world of PSA screening, biopsy, prostate cancer diagnosis recognizes how incredibly confusing and often conflicting the information is. With over a decade of clinical experience and training both as a naturopathic physician and an early residency that included training with Mayo certified urologists, Dr. Tamburi is uniquely qualified to interpret and consult what both sides of medicine are telling patients. He is also the only integrative physician utilizing the state-of-the-art color Doppler ultrasound to accurately image the prostate, along with providing PCA3 molecular prostate cancer urine testing for a heightened assessment. Dr. Tamburi graduated in 2001 from Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine in Tempe, Arizona. He is professor of urology at his alma mater since 2002. He is a member of the Prostate Cancer Research Institute, the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians, and the Arizona Naturopathic Medical Association. He can also be regularly seen and heard on television, radio, and as a professional lecturer on the continuing debate of PSA screening and prostate cancer options. Dr. Tamburi, so nice to have you on the show.
Thank you, Dr. Sherman. I'm not sure where you got that introduction, but wow, I hope I live up to that one.
Even you're impressed, yeah. That's great.
Yeah. Well, thank
yes,
you for
Dr.
having me. And by the way, if I talk quick, I'm Italian, which means I'm very passionate about things. I love the work that I do, and I do have quite a bit of energy for this. Prostate cancer is only half the problem. The other half of the problem is the system that you're trying to navigate it through. And so that's where a lot of this this energy and passion comes from.
That's fantastic. So, one question I get asked a lot by patients is, why do prostates get large as men age? Any ideas about that?
Oh, boy. Well, the short answer is we're just getting old and things start going that direction, with women, and they'll comment, as they get older, their breasts kind of, as they say, they sag a bit. The uterus, as the hormones begin to change, the uh-huh. hormones, matter of fact, the glands, the breast, the uterus, and in this case, men with the prostate, organs that are influenced by sex hormones are the ones that start to be affected most when the sex hormone levels go down. And so things just kind of get, out of unfit, and the prostate kind of starts to swell up and gets a little kind of like Quasimodo sometimes. This leads into the larger issue, of course, of hormone balance. And when people have large prostates, which technically we'll call benign prostatic hyperplasia, many people out there have heard the term BPH. We'll just say, for layman's terms, large prostate. But when you have a large prostate or prostate cancer, which we'll get to very soon, but both of those problems have a link, and that is a hormone imbalance. And so when you're asking why does sometimes they get big, one of the theories, and this does not apply to all, as you know, Dr. Sherman, medicines, there's never absolutes in this field, of course, but when it comes to BPH and prostate cancer, one of the things we look for is a lot of these men have low testosterone levels and high or elevated estradiol levels or estrogen levels. So it's a disparity between the two. So if you have low testosterone and high estrogen, which tends to happen as we get older, we don't work out as much, testosterone levels go down, then we don't work out as much, as I said, you gain more weight, and fat stores estrogen. So it becomes this cycle where estrogen keeps getting higher, testosterone keeps going lower, and then these sex-linked glands, like the prostate in men and the others in women, as I mentioned, get even more kind of just distorted.
Oh, that's fascinating. So I know you see a lot of prostate cancer patients, and how would you define prostate cancer? Since we all have cancer cells floating throughout our system, how do we know when cancer is going to lodge somewhere?
Oh, boy. Well, Okay, well, there's kind of two parts there. How do we know if it's going to lodge somewhere? The problem is you never know if it's going to lodge until it's already done so. And the test that we have, and you know, whether it's an MRI, a bone scan, or there's even more advanced tests like the C11 acetate scan, the circulating tumor cell test, which is a blood test. These are more advanced tests. But even with those tests, they're lagging indicators. In other words, by the time that they come up positive, it's already landed somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The analogy I often give is if you see a piece of bread, you know, on your kitchen sink or something, I don't know, and if it's green and I ask you, is there mold on it, you're going to say, well, of course there is. That's easy. But if it's white and I say, is there mold on it, you can't really say there's not, right? Because by the time there's mold, it's already been there for a while with spores. And therefore, you can only detect the mold by the acuity or the fidelity of your eye for the resolution to make that out. So that's the problem, that whenever, you know, we're looking for scans, and if a scan comes back, like an MRI, and it says it's negative, or a bone scan negative, it doesn't mean the cancer's not out. It just means it was undetectable at that point. So therefore, the real question is, further back, is, well, when does the cancer start to get out? Because cancer of the prostate never really kills you if it stays in the prostate. Now, since we're on the radio, there's going to be some technical people out there. I will, you know, I just want to, for technical reasons, prostate cancer can kill you if it stays in the prostate, if somehow it gets large enough and blocks the prostatic urethra and you can't pee. I mean, if you can't urinate, then, you know, that's a physical issue. But
it's,
we're talking about metastasis. And really, that's the question, is when does it get out, and what's the risk or chance that it will get out? And that is really the number, probably the money question that patients are really asking.
Oh, great answer. Yeah, in fact, we just, I don't know if you heard, we had a caller a few minutes ago who had a PSA of 230, and he's doing pretty well. He's kind of maintaining at that level, but he's having to catheterize himself, of course, and he feels like the PSA isn't going to get him, cause his death anyway. Probably be something else. So how do you know when your PSA is?
By the way, I've had patients hiking mountains with PSAs of 4,000, so they're out there.
Yeah.
So again, God bless and work with your patient as well. So don't let the PSA get you down to that degree. We try to keep it from getting to that point, but at the same time, it's not game over because some piece of paper says, here's my PSA. And I'm sorry, Dr. Sherman, what was your question?
Well, I was just going to talk exactly about that. You know, how do you know when your PSA is truly high or not, or whether it's a problem or not?
Boy, that's the million-dollar question. Well, according to the government or the standards, and if anyone knows me, I don't usually follow the standards. I mean, that's usually what you're up against. But the official standard is 4.0. What I wanted to do, too, actually, it's a great question. If I can, Dr. Sherman, I was maybe a little audience participation class here. We're going to have one, I guess we're going to have a break sometime soon. But those of you listening, I definitely want to talk about the PSA issue. And if you're listening, if you have a PSA deal or if you've had prostate cancer, try over the break. I'm obviously trying to listen to the commercials. We got to pay for the show, right? But during the break, pull out your PSAs and, you know, just put down whatever PSAs you know. You know, I had a PSA of 6 3 months ago, or is 15, 20 months, you know, 2 years ago. And if you know the size or the volume of your gland, just write that down on a piece of paper. And when we come back, I'm going to try and show you guys how to look at PSAs, because I know we're going to take some calls. We can't, of course, talk to everybody, but I think a lot of you out there are going to have similar questions. And if you look at your numbers, I could kind of show you some general hints and tips to look at. But with that said, you know, you said, like, well, what is the actual, you know, how do you know? And it's individual for every patient, because there's so many variables involved. For instance, how large is your gland? If you have a large gland, you can have a high PSA. You remember, PSA means prostate-specific antigen. It's specific to the prostate, not prostate cancer. And that's why everything under the sun makes the PSA go up, you know, motorcycles, having too much sex, not having enough sex, you know, having a urinary tract infection. We can go all day about autoimmune disease, parasites.
Prostatitis, right.
Exactly. All these things make it go up. So, therefore, you have to kind of keep that in mind. But let's just talk generality real quick. The government standard, or the official standard, is 4.0. So under 4, they say is good. Over 4, they say biopsy. Well, no urologist worth their salt or progressive urologist, even they don't follow that to that degree. The new unofficial way of looking at these numbers, Dr. Sherman, is everything is more analog now. So instead of digital, where everything's up or down, now it's more gradation. So therefore, I look at this as more green light, yellow light, red light. So green is good. Yellow is kind of, we might have a problem here. Red light is, of course, there's an issue. So the green light now is 0 to 2. So a 2 PSA or lower in most cases is not a problem. 10 or higher in most cases is cancer. Now, I want to be clear, in my office, I've seen up to 35 PSA, not being a full-blown cancer case. But, but over 10, you kind of are looking at a cancer unless you can rule out something really affecting it, which means 2 to 10, that doesn't mean cancer. It just means there's something going on. We need to take a little closer look at it and or use other tests on it. And that's sort of where most of my guys are in. They're somewhere, their doctor said this PSA thing is elevated at 6 or 9 or 12 or whatever it is, and they're scaring them right into a biopsy. And then the patients go online, and then they hear everyone say the opposite, the alternative websites, and they say, oh, PSAs aren't reliable, don't listen to them. And then guys get caught in that game I call prostate ping pong, and your prostate's the ball, trying to figure out who to listen to in both sides.
Right.
Right,
exactly.
You got Michael Moore and Rush Limbaugh, or Clinton and Trump, and that's the same thing, guys. Just hate to tell you, it's just prostate world.
It's very political, yes.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what it is. So we're going to try and figure out how do you strategize for you, because if you have a large prostate, you can have a PSA that's 12 or 14, and that's normal if you have a large prostate. So that's kind of why it becomes more individual. But to answer your question further, if the PSA is 240, like the gentleman said, or 4,000, I want to be clear, that is prostate cancer, and that is metastatic prostate cancer. To what degree, that's another story, of course.
Great. Thank you for that clear answer. I would like to take a quick call before the break. Dave has been holding for you for quite a while. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
You had a question for Dr. Tamburi?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for your time.
I've
had a MRI, an MP MRI, which identified a tumor 2 years ago. I had another one recently, and the tumor is no longer detectable, but the PSA continues to rise. And in the last year, it's actually fairly substantially from 7 to 10. So my question to you is right in your field. How about a color Doppler? Could it chance of finding where the source of the PSA is?
Oh, I'm sorry. It seems like we've lost Dr. Tamburi here. He should be back in a minute here, Dave.
Okay.
So here we go. Dr. Tamburi, are you there? Dr. Tamburi, we lost him, I think.
There I am.
Oh, Dr. Tamburi. So, Ray, would you repeat your question? I'm sorry, Tamburi, we lost him for
ahead.
A minute there. I'm sorry, Dave. Are you there, Dave? Oh, now we lost Dave.
Can you just summarize this question for me?
It was fairly complex. He has had an MRI, and he had a specific question regarding the, what to do next. But what we could do is take a quick break and then see if we can find Dave on the other side of the break, and he could be a little more clear about it.
Sure, absolutely.
All right. Thanks for everybody holding.